Welcome to a new deep dive here on AI Unraveled. This is the podcast created and produced by Etienne Newman. He's a senior engineer and a passionate soccer dad up in Canada.
That's right.
And hey, if you're finding value in what we do here, exploring AI, please take just a second to like and subscribe. It genuinely helps us reach more curious minds like yours.
It really does.
So today we're diving into some pretty significant happenings in the AI world, all reported around May 27th, 2025.
Yeah, a busy day, it seems.
It does. Our sources are from a Daily Chronicle of AI Innovations, and, well, they really show a field moving at lightning speed. It's touching everything, isn't it? Government stuff, industry debates.
New tools you can actually use, potential problems popping up.
Exactly. So our mission for this dive is really to cut through all that noise. We want to pull out the key insights, help you understand what actually matters from these recent events without getting bogged down in, you know, too much jargon or overwhelming detail.
Right. And May 27th looks like it's quite a day for that. You see these big strategic moves by countries. You see industries asking really fundamental questions. And then you also see, like, real progress in applying AI to actual problems. And even how, you know, regular people are starting to interact with AI. It's a lot.
It is a lot. Okay, so let's jump right in. First up, this really ambitious plan from the United Arab Emirates. They're talking about giving all residents free access to ChatGPT+. That sounds huge.
It is. It's quite a statement, really. And it's not just about handing out logins. It seems like a very calculated move by the UAE to position themselves, you know, right at the forefront globally in AI.
Okay.
And it's tied into this big partnership with OpenAI. You might have heard about Stargate UAE.
Vaguely, yeah. The supercomputer thing.
Exactly. A massive 1 gigawatt AI supercomputing campus they're building in Abu Dhabi. First phase is meant to be 2026.
Wow.
Yeah, the scale of that investment alone tells you they're serious. And they've also said they plan to match their own AI investments with infrastructure spending in the U.S.
So, okay, bigger picture then. It's not just about getting people hooked on a chatbot. What are the maybe less obvious angles here?
Well, look, for starters, this could massively accelerate AI literacy across the whole country.
Right.
If you take away the cost barrier for a premium tool like ChatGPT+, you're basically pushing everyone, students, business owners, everyone, to start playing with it.
Right.
Integrating it.
Uh-huh. Makes sense.
That could spark a wave of homegrown innovation, right? People building things for their own specific needs there. Plus, it's a huge boost for digital skills in the workforce, preparing them for, well, the future of work.
You could almost see it as a kind of universal basic AI.
That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah, perhaps an early experiment in that direction. It definitely makes you wonder if other countries might look at this model.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, for anyone listening who wants to get a better handle on the basics behind tools like ChatGPT+, Etienne Newman's Azure AI Fundamentals book over at dnmgatetech.com is a really great starting point. The link's in the show notes.
Good point. Okay, fascinating stuff from the UAE. Now, shifting gears a bit, there's a big debate brewing in the tech world. And Sir Nick Clegg, formerly high up at Meta, he's warning about forcing companies to get prior consent for all AI training data. He says it could, quote, destroy the AI industry overnight. Pretty strong words.
Very strong words. And it really gets to the heart of a massive challenge for AI development. I mean, just think about the sheer volume of data these large language models need for training.
It's unimaginable, really.
Exactly. So Clegg's argument is, look, trying to track down and get explicit permission for every single article, every image, every bit of text in those enormous data sets, it's just practically impossible.
Right.
Now, he does say, and this is important, that artists and creators should have a way to opt out, you know, protect their intellectual property.
It seems fair.
Absolutely. But the idea of getting universal pre-consent, that's where he sees this huge, maybe insurmountable logistical and legal nightmare.
So it's this tension then between creators' rights and, well, the AI industry's need for fuel, for data.
That's it, precisely. And he also brings up a practical point.
Yeah.
What if one country, say the UK, goes it alone and enforces super strict consent rules? Their local AI companies could fall way behind competitors in places with looser rules. It just highlights why we probably need some kind of, you know, global conversation about this, find a balance that works internationally.
Yeah, a harmonized approach makes sense.
And getting your head around how these models actually use data is key to understanding this debate. Again, resources like Etienne Newman's Azure AI Engineer Associate Study Guide on djmget.com can give you that deeper technical insight.
Right. Okay, so moving from those big policy debates to something more hands-on, one source laid out how you can build your first AI agent using OpenAI's platform. It really feels like these tools are getting into more people's hands now.
That's definitely a major trend. The guide breaks down the basics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Start by figuring out exactly what you want the agent to do, then pick the right OpenAI model, maybe the latest GPT-4.0 or maybe O3 Mini or GPT-4.1, depending on the task.
And you need that API key, right?
Oh, yeah. Setting up your environment with the OpenAI API key is step one. But it's not just about the model. The guide really stresses how crucial it is to write clear, specific instructions, the prompts, to guide the agent effectively.
So it sounds like you don't need to be, you know, a giant tech company anymore to start building useful AI things.
Exactly right. And it goes further. The guide talks about plugging in other tools to make the agent smarter, like connecting it to web search for live info.
Oh, okay.
Or letting it search through your files, or even calling out to other software using APIs. That opens up tons of possibilities.
Right.
It also mentions things like OpenAI's agents, SDK, and libraries like LangChain. You can think of those as like toolkits. Mm-hmm. They give you pre-made bits to handle trickier stuff, like managing the agent's memory or connecting different parts together smoothly.
Got it.
And obviously, like any software, testing and tweaking is super important. But the big picture here is this kind of democratization of AI development. Individuals, smaller teams, they can now build their own custom AI solutions for all sorts of things.
Oh.
Yeah. And if you're thinking about diving into that, building your own agents, getting a solid grasp of the core concepts is vital. Etienne Newman's AWS Certified AI Practitioner Study Guide, also on djamgetek.com, covers a lot of that foundational knowledge.
Nice plug. Okay, now for a really interesting application in the business world, UBS, the big bank.
Uh-huh.
They're using AI-generated avatars of their financial analysts for client videos. Sounds a bit sci-fi.
It is pretty novel, isn't it? They're basically creating digital twins or representations of their analysts to deliver market updates and insights via video.
Ah, they've been doing this long.
They started experimenting back in early 2023, apparently with analyst volunteering. But the fact they're now aiming for something like 5,000 of these avatar videos a year. It suggests they're serious.
5,000? Wow. How does it work?
They're using OpenAI, it seems, to help generate the scripts based on the analyst's own research. Then another AI company called Synthesia creates the actual avatars, making them look and sound like the real analyst.
So why are they doing this? Just to save money? Or reach more people?
Probably a mix. Scalability seems key. Think about how much time it would take for human analysts to record 5,000 videos.
Yeah, impossible.
Right. So avatars let them share info much more often, potentially more tailored, and reach way more clients efficiently, especially meeting that demand for video content.
But are the analysts still involved?
Oh, yeah. UBS is very clear on that. They stress that the real human analysts review and sign off on every script and every video before it goes out, and the videos are clearly marked as AI generated.
Okay. That transparency is important.
Crucial, especially in finance. So it's an innovative use of generative AI, but seemingly with careful human oversight.
Okay. Now, switching topics slightly, there are reports about Meta's Llama AI project losing a lot of its original researchers. Like, a significant number. That can't be good news for Meta.
No, the reported number, around 78% of the researchers on the first Llama paper, that's, well, it's pretty striking, if accurate.
78%. Wow.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is where many of them have gone, they've either joined or actually co-founded competing AI startups. Mistral AI is a big one, founded by some key former Meta Llama people.
Okay. So it's part of this wider talent war in AI.
Exactly. It just shows how intense the competition is for the very top AI researchers right now. There have also been some whispers, you know, reports about internal struggles at Meta, maybe challenges keeping their lead in open source AI or pushing into more complex AI reasoning.
So this brain drain, as they call it, could actually slow down Meta's AI progress, particularly with Llama.
It certainly could pose a real challenge. Losing that core group of original thinkers might impact the speed and direction of future Llama versions. It really underlines how vital it is for these companies not just to hire, but to keep their top AI talent. These big projects depend so much on that specialized expertise.
Makes sense. Okay, now for a story that's more of a cautionary tale, perhaps. A law firm down in Alabama apparently submitted court documents with fake legal citations generated by AI. That sounds really bad.
Oh, it's very bad. A major ethical lapse and potentially serious legal trouble for them. The firm, Butler Snow, which apparently gets paid millions by the state, reportedly used AI, maybe ChatGPT, for research.
Uh-huh.
But then, crucially, they failed to check if the citations the AI spat out were actually real before filing them with a federal court.
Ouch. Did they admit it?
Yeah, a partner at the firm acknowledged using AI and not verifying the citations. The firm expressed embarrassment, said it was against their policy, you know, but the damage is done, potentially. A federal judge is now looking into sanctions.
Oh, so this really hammers home the point about needing human oversight with AI, especially in professions like law.
Absolutely. It's another stark reminder that these AI models can, well, hallucinate. They can just make stuff up. And in fields like law, where accuracy is everything, that can lead to disaster. You absolutely have to verify anything an AI gives you, especially facts and legal points. This whole incident raises big questions about professional responsibility, ethical AI use in law, and frankly, the reliability of current AI tools for that kind of detailed legal work.
Yeah, the legal world must be scrambling to figure out the rules for this.
Definitely. And, you know, understanding these limitations, not just the capabilities, is so important. Etienne Newman's book on the Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Certification, which you can find on dgmgate.com, actually gets into some of those critical considerations about responsible AI use.
Good to know. Okay, let's shift to something much more positive. AI advancements are also leading to some incredible life-changing things. We saw a report about AI-powered exoskeletons helping wheelchair users stand and walk again. That's just amazing.
It really is remarkable. It gives you a real sense of the positive, transformative power AI can have. Companies like Wandercraft are building these complex robotic suits.
Yeah.
And they use sophisticated AI to figure out what the user wants to do. Balance, step, navigate. It assists the movement.
And there was a personal story.
Yes. The example of Caroline Laubach, who survived a spinal stroke.
Mm.
The report detailed how this kind of tech gave her back so much freedom, helped her physical health, just allowed her to engage with the world differently. It's incredibly powerful.
Gosh, that sounds like it could truly change lives for people with mobility issues. What's the bigger picture here?
The potential is just enormous.
Right.
As the AI gets smarter and hopefully the technology gets more affordable and accessible,
mm-hmm.
this could dramatically improve quality of life for millions. It's a fantastic example of AI tackling really profound human challenges.
Absolutely fantastic. Okay, now for something completely different, a bit bizarre, actually. A public spat between a U.S. Congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Elon Musk's AI bot, Grok, over on X. That's unusual.
It is certainly not your typical news item. Apparently, the whole thing kicked off when Grok gave some analysis of Representative Greene's statements about her faith.
What did it say?
It seems Grok suggested there might be a disconnect between her stated beliefs and some of her actions, pulling in criticisms others have made. You know, sort of nuanced summary.
Okay. And how did she react?
Not well. She accused Grok of being left-leaning and spreading fake news and propaganda.
Wow. Arguing with the AI directly?
Exactly. It's kind of fascinating, right? It highlights these weird, complex interactions starting to happen between public figures and AI. It also taps into those ongoing debates about whether AI models have biases.
Yeah, the perception of bias.
And how people perceive these AIs, almost like personalities. It definitely shows our relationship with AI is evolving in strange ways.
It really is. Okay, finally today, some advice from a major figure in AI, Demis Hassabis, the CEO of Google DeepMind. He's telling teenagers they should aim to become AI ninjas. What does he mean by that?
Huh. Yeah, AI ninjas. Mm. Basically, he's pushing young people to really dive deep into artificial intelligence, build strong skills in STEM science, tech, engineering, math, and really develop that habit of constantly learning, being adaptable. He predicts AI will shake up the job market, yes, but also create amazing new opportunities for those who are ready.
So it's about getting the next generation prepped for an AI future. Makes sense.
Precisely. The message is clear. AI literacy, technical skill, adaptability, these are becoming critical for the future workforce. Being an AI ninja means not just using AI tools, but understanding them, maybe building them.
Yeah.
And definitely being able to roll with the changes AI brings.
And I suppose that's where things like certifications come in.
Absolutely. For any teens listening, or really anyone wanting to build those skills and maybe, you know, boost their career, that range of AI certification guides by Etienne Newman, we mentioned Azure AI Engineer, Google Cloud Generative AI Leader, AWS AI Practitioner, Azure AI Fundamentals, they're fantastic resources.
Mm-hmm.
All on dgmgadtech.com, links in the notes. They can genuinely help you on that path to becoming an AI ninja.
Good advice. And just to quickly wrap up the other AI news from May 27th, there are a few more things happening.
Yeah, just quickly, reports about Elon Musk's DOGE possibly using Grok for data analysis, raising some eyebrows about privacy. OpenAI setting up shop legally in South Korea, planning an office there, continued global expansion.
Okay.
Abu Dhabi's AI university, MBZU AI, launched a new institute of foundation models, even opening a research lab over in Silicon Valley. More investment.
Right.
A new company, Atlog AI, came out of stealth, focusing on AI voice agents just for furniture stores, showing that specialization trend.
Interesting enough.
And researchers found a new security vulnerability affecting AI agents using a specific GitHub server, reminding us that security is always an ongoing challenge.
So yeah, looking back at May 27th, 2025, what a snapshot of the AI landscape. National strategies, ethical debates, practical tools, talent wars, even weird Twitter arguments.
Absolutely. A single day really showing just how fast things are moving and how many different areas AI is touching now. Government, industry, developers, the public.
It really gives you pause, makes you think about what's next. I mean, which of these things we talked about feels like it has the biggest long-term impact or maybe poses the biggest questions for us going forward? Is it that drive for accessibility, like in the UAE, the ethics around data, or just how deeply AI is weaving itself into our work and lives?
That really is the key question, isn't it? Something for you, the listener, to mull over. The potential is incredible, but navigating it all thoughtfully is going to be crucial.
Absolutely. And hey, if you are inspired to get a deeper understanding to build those skills we talked about, definitely check out djangeeks.com. Explore Etienne Newman's AI certification study guides, Azure AI Engineer Associate, Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Certification, AWS Certified AI Practitioner, Azure AI Fundamentals. They're designed to help you navigate this AI world and really give your career a boost. All the links are, as always, in our show notes.
Great resources.
Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive today.